Episode 104 of Drunk on Comics.
With our powers combined, we create a really bad liver.
Dude, that is the essence of give me an A or give me an F. Right there.
Well, you can't fucking pop that shit on me right away.
Yeah, we didn't plan. There's not a lot of planning going on today.
No, actually, there really wasn't, yeah.
I actually want to see how this one turns out today, because this is the most not planned, if that's how you would say the words properly in a sentence.
Well, yeah, for once you actually did say it properly. I mean, you could have said unplanned, it may have been a little bit better, but, you know, it's not like your super crazy made-up words that you like to use, like fictitious or fictional.
Yeah.
I liked that one.
Wait, and, that's not real.
Fictitional? Well, it's fictional.
That's
orders.
What the definition is, yeah.
Yeah. Real. Yeah, and imaginationalism. Mm-hmm. That was another really good one of yours that I liked. But anyway, welcome to Drunk on Comics, everybody.
Hey, thank you.
God damn it, Kevin. yeah, this is our weekly podcast where we're going to sit around and talk about some comic books, and we're going to review some comic books, and we're going to talk about some news, and we're going to talk some more about comic books, and we'll probably make fun of each other while we do it. And we'll swear. So,
warning. Swear words ahead.
Yeah. And spoilers.
Explicious
words. All right. This is totally off subject, but I got a feeling that this is kind of how it's going to go. I had the most terrible service at the gas station this morning. When I walked up to
the terrible service at the gas station. Did you pull up to that fictitious full service gas station?
Well, okay, it just blew my mind. I couldn't even think. I walked up. I'm buying a couple things, and it's $5.98, and I have $6 in my hand. And the woman looks at me, and she goes, "Will that be credit or debit?" And I'm like, what? And she goes, credit or debit? And I go, cash.
Like, what is cash?
And she looks at me like I'm the fucking weirdo. And I'm like, I have money in my hand. What the fuck is wrong with you?
How many teeth did she have?
I don't know. Like she had the summer teeth. you know summer teeth?
No, I don't know summer teeth.
Oh, some are there, some are missing. She had like half a pack of Chiclets in her mouth, you know. But all right, let's get into shit because it's going to be one of those days. I think
we're going to be talking about but this would be considered puns. So, like someone introduced me a while ago to Butterface.
What, you just found out about Butterface?
Well, just maybe a handful of years ago, but
dude, like Butterface, like. Goes back to like Howard Stern, like, and I mean before Howard Stern, but when he
was on the like, actual radio,
yeah,
not the satellite stuff,
yeah. All right,
if you don't know what you're talking about, get lost, podcast.
We will talk about comics at some point today.
Yeah, maybe. Speaking of, let's do some off the shelf, and you know what? It's kind of our in between time, so I think. The entire episode, not just one segment, is going to have to be brought to everyone by Ink Whiskey today. What do you guys think?
We're already traveling on the path, so
yeah.
Let's go
to inkwhiskey.com, and you can get really fucking cool Nintendo cartridge-looking flasks. And, yeah, you can go to our site, too, and you'll see them. But, yeah, go check them out. They're $20, and that includes shipping. Best fucking deal ever. So... Inkwhiskey.com.
All right, Dirk, you get to go first.
Okay, I'll do that. We were talking before, you know, well, a little bit of pre-production we did. I actually had a really, really difficult time selecting what book I was going to review this week. Because I actually had a lot of really good ones. But I decided you know what? Let's do this one.
Did you just, like, close your eyes and just... flail your arms around, whatever you touched first.
I got it narrowed down to which couple I was going to choose from, so I was about to pick one, and I picked the other one. So Journey, Volume 2, Number 1 from Aspen Comics, written by J.T. Krull, and pencils by Paolo Pantolina, colors by Ross Campbell.
Don't stop believing.
What?
Journey.
Oh, no, well, it's a different kind of journey. Oh, okay. J-I-R-N-I.
Faithfully?
Damn it, I can't think of any other Journey songs.
Wheel in the Sky? Come on, man, just think about the greatest hits album everyone owns.
I don't own it.
What? What's wrong with you? You're fucking on an American.
I stopped believing. Oh. But, alright, so, if you guys remember,
who is this? Aspen, you said?
Aspen.
Okay.
Yeah. If you guys don't remember Volume 1, and actually way back, Tony and I interviewed J.T. Krull about this book before it came out. This is basically kind of a swords and sorcery, Conan the Barbarian, Gauntlet, Frank Frazetta style Dungeons and Dragons type book. This is exactly what a fantasy book should be, and that's why I wanted to talk about it this week. Your main character Ara in here is on a search to find her mother, who is basically a genie. For you know, they use the term djinn in here, but she's a genie, and her father was a human. And somebody has captured her mother, and so she's on a kick-ass quest across the globe to go beat some ass. And she beats ass along the way. But this book, the one thing that I really like about it, Krull has a great way of kind of getting into the dialogue and the story that really transports you into this fantasy world, which I don't think anybody else really does at the level that he does. Because if you ever read, like, a lot of the books that have that, you know, the elves and the ogres and, you know, the orcs and all that, it's so choose-your-own-adventure that it's not even worth reading. This, on the other hand...
Can you skip to the endings and find out which one was the best ending?
Well, yeah, and I mean, like, it's kind of the same thing with those other comics, you know, that's like, ugh. You know, it's like, and for somebody that... Me, like... This is kind of like being in the middle almost of a Final Fantasy game, you know, and just kind of transports you right into it.
Are there slimes in it?
I haven't seen any slimes yet, no. Okay. No. But Paolo Pantolina, the pencils that he does, if you guys haven't checked him out online, you really should. The amount of detail that he puts into his work is ridiculous. I mean... And honestly, the combination between Krull and Pantolina, they have been able to weave such a truly realistic, magical world that it's just a lot of fun. I mean, it's not going to be like one of these tear-jerking type books, I don't think, unless, you know, he really throws a loop later on. But you get entranced in the story, and it really is a journey that you want to go on, and you're following this character. And you're always curious what's around the next corner. But you can pick up here. I mean, it's a number one issue. It's volume two. You don't have to have read volume one, but I would highly recommend going and getting it. It'll give you a little bit better appreciation for this one. But fantastic book. I mean, just all the way around, gorgeous to look at. And great read.
And, I mean, we'll have the information on the website. But Journey is not spelled like the normal...
J-I-R-N-I. Yeah, we covered that once.
When he talks about
it. Yeah, but are they listening to that episode at the time that they're listening to this episode?
No, we talked about it earlier today.
When you were saying Journey songs.
See, I was too busy thinking about that Greatest Hits album.
Yeah, but Greatest Hits is spelled normal. Yeah. So, anyway, go pick up Journey from Aspen. And, yeah, fucking cheers on this book, guys. I mean, they did a hell of a job.
So, it's an adventure.
It's more than an adventure. You know, but realistically, it's not about the destination.
It's the road you travel.
Yeah. And what kind of moped you're on. So, speaking of mopeds, Kevin, what do you got this week?
Oh,
just because you got a moped, that...
Yes, listeners, I have a moped. Actually, moped people would get angry at you for calling it a moped.
Why is it a scooter?
It's a scooter. I don't understand why. This is why I don't hang out with either one of those groups
anymore.
Well, no, I talked to a bunch of people, and they were adamant about that, and like, okay, you're a little bit too passionate about a two-wheeled vehicle with a motor. I just use it to get around, and I like the breeze against my face.
No, it's kind of like one of our buddies who is way too into phones. And Tony knows exactly who I'm talking about.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And he will never listen to this, so...
Yeah.
So we can make fun of him all we want.
Well, no, it's like, dude, look, because I've got an iPhone 4S, and it's like, oh my God, look at that thing.
Oh my God, you're so behind the times.
And I'm like, I know, it's terrible, it makes phone calls. Oh, I can send text messages, oh my God. I can even get on the internet. It sucks!
What you need to do is you need to find a jitterbug. Give it to him for his birthday.
What's a jitterbug?
The jitterbug? It's the old person phone.
Oh, yeah.
With the big buttons?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll admit, I actually miss the days of just having a phone.
Flip phones?
Yeah, just a phone.
You can go back anytime.
Yeah, I know. But, all right, Kevin, enough of that bullshit. It's going to be one of those days, isn't it? Or is it already?
All right, my turn to talk. I actually don't have much to talk about because I honed right into what I was going to talk to you all about. So new this week, but actually released digitally a couple weeks ago, was DC Comics Batman 66 meets Dynamite Comics The Green Hornet #1. Now,
the way that you said that, it sounds like Batman 66 meets Green Hornet #1. So, like it's the number 66 Batman and it's the #1 Green Hornet.
Oh, I thought you were saying, like, oh, it's the #1 Green Hornet.
Back in #1.
So on the cover, it says 1 of 6, but I was reading up on this prior to writing some notes down, and it says it's actually part of a 12-part bi-weekly series.
Well, then my guess is
What do you guess?
My guess is one of two things. Either
there's probably gonna be two stories. This is gonna be a 6-page or 6-series arc, and then there'll be another 6 afterwards.
Right.
That's my guess.
Where it'll probably be The Green Hornet meets Batman 66, released by Dynamite. Uh-huh. That's my guess.
Yeah. Are they meeting the 66 Green Hornet?
It's from the same era, the TV show. I'm guessing. Because, I don't know much about The Green Hornet, other than there's a sidekick named Kato.
And he's green and he's a hornet.
And originally Kato was supposed to be, Kato was Bruce Lee.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. So, yeah. Well, this book written by Kevin Smith. Yes, that Kevin Smith.
What Kevin Smith?
Oh, okay, well, if you don't know, then I'm not going to tell you.
Silent Bob.
Snoochie Booches.
Kevin Smith, Ralph Garman. Art by Ty Templeton, colors by Tony Avena, and the cover by Alex Ross.
Yeah, that's one of those where the cover style and the interior style are, oh, I wonder, and I open it up, I'm like, okay, that was...
It's like peanut butter and jelly, man.
Yeah.
They just go well.
No, they go well, but they're totally different. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
totally different would be peanut butter and Doritos.
That sounds good.
On what fucking planet? God damn, that sounds nasty.
I'm pretty sure that's what Tony has in his cupboard, and we're gonna go raid it.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. But what's it? What's in your cupboard? Chunky or smooth?
Smooth.
Okay.
That's really old.
Is that what we fed you the last time?
Yep.
Nice. Yeah.
So, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know that I have a raging hard on for Batman 66, the book, not the actual Adam West character. Chicks, boobs, pussy. Okay. Come on, man. Don't go there. Don't go there. So it really, when this came out, it was really a no-brainer for me to pick it up, even though, I don't really know much about the Green Hornet. So, surprise, surprise, I was not disappointed at first.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, really, there wasn't much disappointment, but I'll get to that. So the gist of the story is you have Bruce Wayne traveling with some prized fossils to another museum located in another town. And I say another town because I'm guessing from how things are written out in this book that in the Green Hornet world, again, I never right. saw anything, is that they never really say what town Green Hornet's in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing because they were kind of writing up some notes. I was going through this. I'm like, they don't mention the town by name, so I think that might be an ongoing thing. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. So anyway, Bruce Wayne's traveling with a bunch of bones, and guess who shows up? Britt Reed and Kato. And if you didn't know, Britt Reed is the Green Hornet.
Oh God! Now you spoiled it.
We did not. Say spoiler warning.
Yeah, we did. Just kind of how we said journey.
We just said spoiler and then moved on, didn't we?
I'm not too familiar with Green Hornet, but is Kato his real name or his disguised name?
Kato's his real name.
His right? real name. And actually, that was... And you bring that up, there was actually a cool little joke about how he doesn't have a name in here. And you definitely tell Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman, they really enjoy the content of the original content,
the original properties.
Yeah, and they knew the kind of the little jokes they talk about after they watch the shows, and they knew how to play off of it and give fans what they're looking for. And I thought that was really well done. The art in this book. The art seems to me like from Batman 66, the ongoing series. It just seems to me it just keeps on getting better and better.
It's very pulp style, and I like.
Oh, really? It really is. It's just the lines and the shading. Everything just he has excellent detail to it. Now, I have a question for you guys. Now, so the letters here were done by Wes Abbott.
Okay,
I think I know the answer, but when you see the action words like bam, zoinks, mint, and whatever, is the letter writing those action words, or does he just stick to what's in the word bubble?
Normally, he's just sticking to the word bubbles. Mm-hmm. But it really depends. I have known of letterers that put these sound effect letters in there, too. I don't know because I've known of both ways, but I think typically it is they're just doing the word balloons.
And one of the things with those two, like they're in all comic books, you know, here or there in one form. But I will always go back to the Batman TV show of it being prevalent. Pew, pow, you know.
Wait, like what?
Pew, pow.
I don't remember that one flashing across the screen.
Yeah, and how do you spell?
My favorite action word in this book, splotch. And of course, there's this gooey substance coming out of a barrel.
Yeah, we'll have a discussion later about some comics that I saw that one of our mutual friends gave me, which once it was seen, it can't be unseen, and there were. Yeah, the sound effect words were sploosh and ploosh, and I was like, bleh. So
the dialogue in this book, it is just gosh darn clever. It's humorous, and again, it's just taking strings right from the source material, and it works out just to be a wonderful read. One of my favorite parts of the book is a heated argument that Britt and Bruce have about what... it's a heating argument about each other's city's crime fighters' looks. So Bruce is like, I think the cape is a good look. And then Green Hornet, Britt, has a counter argument to that. And it's
that back the fedora is the way to go.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so humorous. It's just a fun read.
Do they trade off man boy servants like for the day at all? You know, like, hey, you want to try mine?
Hey, there's five more issues.
Oh. Well, maybe that's what the last six are. It's going to be a lot of sploosh and ploosh.
Well, okay, so I want to get back to the only thing I was disappointed about, but my cheap assery is getting the best of me here. Okay, so where I'm going with this is, so I $2.99 for this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Digitally, it was $1.99.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait, when is this?
Yeah.
I personally think that digital should always be cheaper than
print. Oh, yeah, but it hasn't been yet.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I mean, this would be the first. Now, granted, I don't price shop my comics, but if I would have known this was a dollar cheaper, and probably, and I could have gotten it 2 weeks ago, I might have gone that route.
Yeah.
The only other, and I almost picked it up just to figure out what the hell's going on in the summary of the book. In the digital version, it says it's 100 pages.
What?
Yeah, I know. So I actually have the physical. I bought the physical copy, obviously, because it's off the shelf.
You've done digital.
I've done digitals off the shelves too. But the actual version is only 26 pages or so.
Yeah, it looks like there's like
probably only so. 18 I'm, to 20 I, pages but I'm story. Too damn cheap to fork over $2 to see if you actually get 80. Pages worth of bonus content.
See, that's one thing I do like about Marvel is that you always get, you get a digital copy of your book with the print.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I mean, where Marvel gets it right is you are rewarded in many cases by picking up the physical copy because there's bonus content in it.
Yeah.
Whereas, for example, what I'm talking about is the AR. Right now, those AR features aren't active on at least the copies of the Marvel books that I have been picking up digitally.
Mm-hmm.
Like She-Hulk, for instance. I've been picking that up strictly digitally, and none of the AR has worked there.
I'm like, none of them work in my books either. I think it's just my phone or the system, but... I stopped even trying.
Yeah, it's been very wonky lately, and I don't know what that's going on there. But anyway,
I couldn't tell you because I used it like three times. I was like, oh, that's neat. I'm done. I want to go back and read my comics now.
So, Batman meets Green Hornet again. Man, this is a winner. This is a great start, and it's probably going to continue to be a good ride. For its 12th series, bi-weekly, if I didn't mention that earlier.
Cool. Speaking of Marvel books, Tony, what you got over there?
I got one of the best Marvel books out there. Even more so than Thanos last week, I feel. Only because...
Thanos Annual?
Yes. More than that one. I would say there's only one other book that I say that this is in the vein of, which is Magneto, where... It's taking a character, but having a very, very awesome story. I can't think of a better word than that, just because brain cells are dying right now.
Well, just make up a new one. A new word.
Very fabulosum?
Yeah.
It doesn't really work, but whatever.
It's giganimous.
It is pretty cool, if you ask me. Bringing that one back.
Cool.
That's rad.
Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 5. Like I said, this is a story that, when you're reading it, you get caught up within the intrigue, that you have to really go back and reread some pages sometimes to say, like, no, that didn't happen. When the big reveal happens, you go back, holy shit, there was, like, a nice drawn panel of something being slipped here or whatever it would be that's brought in. So all the small little subtleties of the art by Lee Garbett is amazing. But it's Al Ewing, who is writing this right now, that is really putting in the ultimate story for this. Within the last couple issues, Loki has... The reason why he's Agent of Asgard is he's been pretty much... what?
I want to see your book.
Oh.
I was trying to, like let you keep talking without going, hand me the fucking book.
Well, there's the book. He's been tasked with taking errant Asgardians that are around Earth back to Asgardia, where the All Mothers are overseeing it, since Odin went back to wherever, Odin Land, to do whatever Odin does when he's not ruling and yelling at Thor. So anyways, you have the three All Mothers, and Loki's out here, kind of, except with the exception of Thor, who's allowed to do whatever he wants, bringing all these people back, because they have this vision. They know that there's something that's going to happen. Ragnarok has been broken. That happened within... Fuck, what was that event with all the hammers falling from the sky?
The event that won't be spoken of?
Yes, that one.
Fear itself?
Yes. That was when Kid Loki made a huge decision to kind of be a good guy and help out. Kid Loki being around ever since Siege, actually, so like quite a few years ago, when old Loki died at the end of that, saving the Avengers and the world from... God, man, now all these events are kind of just rolling around in my head and I can't remember. But anyways, Kid Loki, being the good one, now finds that there is a future older Loki, who is also the evil incarnate, who's now traveled back in time now. So as I said at the beginning of this review, there's a lot of stuff that, just trying to even explain what's going on within the book, you will be so lost that you have to seriously read it a second time. And it's those sort of books that I find are the most mesmerizing, that you just got through it saying, holy shit, not like I didn't understand that, but holy shit, I need to really reread that to see if that was really written in the way that it could be. And it is so amazing. And I'm not going to necessarily get into all the subtleties of it, but it was a heist to break into the deepest dungeons of Asgard to pretty much free a couple people, but of course Loki, having his own thoughts of what he wants to do, finds out his deep dark secret. And then it kind of ends with its little subtle teaser of, you know, follow Loki within the original Sin comic book next with Thor when they meet their sister.
Dude, that's the, like, I've heard nothing but good things about this book, and I'm not really a Loki fan of, like, the Thor and Loki, and you know, I've mostly had my issue with Thor and the Thor Vetica font, which drives me nuts, but that artwork is gorgeous in that book. I mean, that is stunning. And has Jenny Friesen hasn't been doing all the covers for this book, has she? Or has she?
She has, I believe.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
Speaking of Thor speak and everything, in the last issue, they were kind of speaking like that, and they made a reference of, well, Thor does it all the time and gets the chicks, why, you know?
Yeah, everybody thinks it's cool when Thor talks like that. Yeah. Yeah, there was actually, I think, a review on our site that went up about that, you know, something along those lines.
But, yes, Loki, as you said, you may not enjoy that character, but he has been an integral part of Marvel. Obviously, he's the person that created the Avengers. We've talked about that before. He is always around, and just a trickster god is, I think, the funnest god, because who doesn't like playing pranks on people?
Why do I know Al Ewing's name? Like, I mean, I know that he did he did a bunch of Judge Dredd stuff, but I don't think that's where I know him from. Do you guys know him from anything else?
He's been doing a couple, I think, Marvel books before.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Mighty Avengers and Loki. I just did a quick look up on him, but like, I know that name from someplace else. But anyway, all right, yeah, I'll have to figure it out later why I know him.
You mentioned Judge Dredd. Did you see the huge Essentials type book series that it's out now for Judge Dredd?
No, I didn't.
Well, I just saw it in an ad, and it made me think about that because I don't know if this was out for a while, but Judge Dredd is just one of those characters that just seems very interesting to me.
Yeah,
and I've always wanted to read up on it, but I never knew where to start. Sorry about that.
You want to know what? Like, I picked up, there's a new series that came out here a while back, and I just hopped on and read it for actually quite some time. I ended up dropping it only just because of sheer volume of books.
Mm-hmm.
But was that that might have been the Swierczynski run, but I I've killed so many brain cells already today that I'm not going to be able to remember much. So, all right, cool. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us for Off the Shelf, and time for a little news.
Before news, do we have any Best on Tap?
Ooh, yeah, we do have a Best on Tap.
Because if we don't do it now, we'll forget it later.
No, we won't. I put it in the stack over here. It was under that. Magneto number 5 from Marvel. This cover was done by Declan Shalvey with colors by Jordi Belair, and this is just one of those really, really cool. I don't know. It's a very introspective type cover. You've got a girl, which it looks like she's got some kind of either mechanical leg or like some kind of mechanical brace on her leg. You see her back. She's looking out into the distance, and you see the little edge of Magneto's helmet, but underneath it there's a skull. And
dun, 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 Doom.
No, Magneto, not Dr. Doom. Magneto. But no, just beautiful, beautiful line work on this one. And, Shelvey and Belair are a fantastic fucking team, So, yeah, that's it this week.
Since we're on this segment, I got a question for you. So I picked up Action Comics 32.
Oh, damn. Did those come out this week, the new...
That's what I'm going to ask, is...
I don't think they're supposed to come out until September.
Yeah, well, this is what confused me, is that, so they have this outright, I picked this up because I'm holding it, but...
Damn, let me see that.
You have on Action Comics 32, you have a pinup girl style of Supergirl.
Aunt Lucia did the art on all of these.
Yeah, and, I mean, hey, it's badass, but, like, it didn't even really dawn on me until I saw the normal cover on Comixology, then I'm like, wait a minute, so is this like a variant? Is this a teaser for it? So, if you guys don't know...
Why didn't you share that with us before the show?
I mean, because it...
Because I wanted to see you guys' tongue wag out like it is right now.
Quick, let's time travel. We're going to go back and re-erase what we just said, and then let's vote on that.
That's what the normal cover looks like.
Yeah, because I didn't see any of these at my shop.
Really? Well, and that's funny about my shop is that, I don't find this out later, is that the variant covers what they're selling normally, and obviously the normal color or cover was, I don't know, they didn't get it or something. I don't know. That's happened on more than one occasion where I'm picking up the variant not even knowing it.
Yeah.
Cool mistakes.
I fucking love Aunt Lucia's artwork. He's so good. So that can be Best on Tap.
Yeah. No. Action Comics number 32.
All right, I'll do Magneto for Off the Shelf. This was one of the books I was struggling with as to whether or not I wanted to review it. So just read Magneto. There's my review. It was really fucking good.
Best review ever.
Now let's fast forward up to the quick one. Okay.
Anyways, check us out on Drunk on Comics and you fast forward.
Fuck, we went too far.
Got some news.
A little bit of news. Let's do a little RoboCop news.
There was actually surprising. You don't hear much about RoboCop in the news.
Well, not around here because, I mean, us being from Michigan, I mean, he's it's kind of like you don't hear that much about Faygo because it's all over. Yeah. You know.
No, it's just. No, I mean, RoboCop, he's not a big-time superhero, so he doesn't pop up, but
he's a protector of Detroit.
I want to say that I think this is, everything is tying in to the DVD release of the most, the recent RoboCop reboot.
Yeah,
and
there's a bonus with it.
Yeah, so they're going to release RoboCop The Gauntlet with the copy of
Blu-ray or DVD.
Yeah, and that's really cool. Now, I'm sure, and
digital.
Yeah, of course, digital. I'd say, like, could you imagine? It's like the comic would be like twice the size of the DVD case.
Well,
but,
I bought like when the first Spider-Man movie came out.
When did it come like with the mini comic?
I got like a box set.
Okay.
Thing that.
Well,
I
forgot when they came out with 4 one-shots. I don't remember if the Gauntlet was part of that or because there was one I missed out of those 4 one-shots, and that might have been it. But so I don't know if this is new or old. I didn't get a chance to read the whole thing. But
well, it's from Boom, and so I mean it's not that old.
Okay, so with that, there was another announcement from Boom saying that they're going to do an ongoing series of RoboCop.
Yeah.
Which, sweet. Because there's only so many retellings you can of the movies.
Well.
And I understand OCP is a pivotal part, but it's time to, at least what the TV show tried to do, is let's just make it our own, though it didn't really work that well, but let's just make this our own thing, and an ongoing series I think might do that.
Well, and I'm kind of, I will pick it up based on the creators that are doing it, because you've got Josh Williamson, who is doing Nailbiter, which I talked about here last month, and Tony and I actually talked to him at C2E2, and then Carlos Magno, who has been drawing Deathmatch, which I really, really liked his work on that. So, you know, I'm gonna pick that up just because I think the creative team is good enough that it's worth a shot. It could just be called, you know, here's a different comic book, issue 1, and I'd go, oh, okay.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Based on them.
Man, did you see RoboCop throwing the first pitch at a Detroit Tigers game?
No.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, he was in full, not Peter Weller RoboCop, but current RoboCop gear.
Like the black outfit?
Yeah. And, yeah, he threw a pitch. I mean, it wasn't like a robot actually throwing it in terms of its velocity, but hey, it was a straight pitch. Better than
50 Cent?
Yeah. Well, do you guys know that, you know, they're planning on putting that RoboCop statue out within the giant bronze statue?
10 feet of awesomeness.
Yeah. So there was a lot of, like, people that were thinking because of this DVD release that it was going to be put out today. So there's a lot of people just kind of roaming around Detroit, kind of trying to figure out where they're putting it. False alarm, though. It's going to be debuted later this year. I mean, it would have been sweet had they been able to do that as well.
Oh my gosh!
It all released around the same time.
That would've been sweet, but it's really cool that it's happening.
I think Boom Studios should come out to Motor City next year, and then we'll all take a trip down to the RoboCop statue and go have a drink with RoboCop and Boom Studios.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So, there, Boom. Come join us. Open invitation to have a drink with us. So
have an open container with us.
And, well, it will... The cops will drive by and they'll go, why do those guys all have Nintendo cartridges?
Yeah. I tell you, the cops in Detroit, they're going to look at a bunch of white guys hanging around the RoboCop statue and they're like,
nerds.
This... Something else to do.
Yeah. Kevin, a little follow-up on the story that you brought up here a couple weeks ago about that guy from Kentucky that was selling all of his comics on eBay.
That rich motherfucker.
He's rich now.
Oh, my God. One auctions from a series of number one issues and a bunch of other comics netted him $1.5 million.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's it before or after fees, but regardless, at 7 figures, holy shit.
Yeah. I guess the biggest one was the first appearance of Flash got him $182K, and then first issues of Superman and Batman.
Yeah, you brought up an interesting point, which the articles, and these are mostly where we're finding these articles are from mainstream publications like ABC News and of the like. They don't mention about the conditions of the books.
No.
And that would be the most interesting. Good, best, mint, whatever. I don't need a comic book. Whatever that grade number system is called. Oh, yeah. I don't need anything like that, but it would be nice to know if they're, these things were fucking used in outhouses, or...
Or like that Action Comics number one that was like in the wall as insulation at that guy's house that ripped. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Tony, do you have any, you got anything on your side there that you came across this week?
Kind of. Okay. Same things that we kind of all came up with, but I will go with this one. DC Comics is finally giving Bill Finger a cover credit on Batman.
Rather than giving him the finger.
Yes.
I was going to say that first.
Well, I mean, everyone in the industry knows that he helped pretty much make Batman who he is, but he's never had his cover credit. So now they are finally doing something good over at DC, unlike pulling all their subscriptions for the workers and all that shit.
Yeah, no more pull lists for your staff. But, well, maybe it's because they had to pay Bill Finger and they couldn't afford to...
The lettering on the cover costs more than all that.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you are unfamiliar, Bob Kane created the idea, but Bill Finger is the one that, gave him the costume, the origin, the whole...
Everything.
Everything other than the name of Batman, pretty much. So...
Basically, they start saying a bunch of names and be like, we created that. Now, you made up the story and everything, but...
Yeah. So, I've got some just kind of general industry behind-the-scenes news. Couple quick mentions. Oni Press has a new VP of Business Development, Tim Weish. And so, he's old Dark Horse... guy there. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of wanted to touch on that. Congratulations to Tim on that. Oni's been kicking ass here for quite some time.
Oh my gosh, they got a string of winners.
Yeah, they do.
Going on right now.
And then C.B. Cebulski is leaving Marvel Publishing and is going to be doing something reportedly on a larger scale within the Marvel Disney organization. So that was kind of a shock there.
Live action pigment movie? I'm just speculating. Rumor.
What's pigment?
Pigment? You know that crazy magician with the purple dragon?
Nope.
Oh wait. Yes.
I think isn't that the I'm humoring you?
No.
Kind of.
No. He was in. Wasn't he in that book that you're reading, The Seekers of the Weird?
No. He's not in that. Marvel either it's been out or it's coming out. They're actually going to have an original.
That's what it was.
I brought it up in a new segment in a previous episode.
Yeah, it's just
they're going to talk more about the story because he's been part of the Disney world for a while, but he's just been kind of a thing in Epcot Center.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. But, so.
Cool. Last little bit of news that I came across. I talked about Lola XOXO here a little over a month ago. Because issue 2 just came out last week, I think it was. Comixology is offering that issue for free right now, from what I heard. So, if you want to go check out, and I wish I knew if I was pronouncing her name at all even close, but Saya Oum. If you want to go check out her work, she wrote and drew this book, and Jesus, just buy it for the artwork, even if you don't read it. I mean, it's a great read, but the artwork is just out of this world. So that's another Aspen book, too. So, yeah, that's everything I had. Did you guys have anything else?
Mark Ruffalo's recently spoken about how his role as the Hulk within the new Avengers movie is going to be a lot bigger than the last one, more complex, a bigger story arc, and there is a lot of talks of him being this new character if they were going to have a spin-off movie, but Phase 2, it wasn't going to happen. Now, with this new rumor of how he's got a bigger story within this new Avengers Age of Ultron, a lot of people are going back to that same speculation of he will have his own solo movie within the Phase 3 world that will set up, you know, Planet Hulk. I mean, it'd be one of the big things at the end of this that you see him get shot out in space to set up that movie, and if that's true, that's why you would have a bigger character development within this new Avengers movie. So hopefully that's the way it's going, and I'll just keep throwing money at Marvel Studios.
I did hear, though, that they're doing a slight character change thing with him, though. I guess what's going to happen is that his rage, like when he goes nuts, he's going to have all of his rage backed up with facts and documented sources, and he's going to be known as the Credible Hulk.
I like that one.
All right.
I got intellectual humor.
Yeah. All right, so
I got a question for you guys. This is flipping through the books. I was very intrigued by a particular cover I saw. You guys read at all X-Factor 9 this week?
No.
It's a pretty interesting cover where you have a half-naked Gambit and Lady on the cover. And it's... I don't know. And then the synopsis of the story was something like Gambit does something naughty. I don't know. I was intrigued, but not intrigued enough to pick it up because I haven't read anything in the X world lately.
Yeah, hey, Tony and I were talking about that the other day. I've trimmed down my number of X books drastically, and they're about to get trimmed again.
Oh, but, sure. I mean, fuck, dude. I mean, I'm just looking at your wad over there, and I mean, 20, is it even 25% Marvel over there now?
No. I picked up 2 Marvel books this week, and the rest, I got one.
You're too busy. Book, too busy.
One book from
one Vertigo. Arming it down the fucking indie turnpike.
Yeah, yeah. I got one Vertigo way book, back. 2 Marvel, and then the rest was all, you know, independent creator owned stuff. So,
yeah, was it Blue Ocean Comics? You pick up any of that?
No, I didn't. I didn't, because I'm not really interested in reading about Julia Child.
Yeah, I don't know. That in comic book form is...
Dude, you heard about that, right? Julia Child, there was actually a sellout, though I have no idea how many issues were actually printed.
Both of them.
But they're bringing it to digital, and they're actually going to make some interactive features to it, including voice.
I'm gonna drink the wine. That was like.
What the fuck was that?
Doc! All of a sudden, I turned into Tony doing terrible Bill Cosby impressions.
Dude, I was.
That's kind of what it was.
Yeah, I was chuckling because when you were reviewing Journey, when you were saying.
When I was faithfully?
I was thinking of you in a Bill Cosby voice going, oh, you got the ghosts and the goblins and the...
And Tony?
I don't know, I'm just going to start doing Mrs. Doubtfire because I don't know how Julia Child sounds like.
I was going for the Bill Cosby.
Just go with
it. I wanted to hear you do the Puddin' Pops.
I didn't want to retire him. He was just so good that people kept coming up to me for autographs. I mean,
yeah.
We're so similar looking.
Yeah, you look exactly like
do
him.
Do the voice. Do the voice.
Yeah. Okay, I got a quick barback segment for you guys this week. Right. We haven't done one here in a while, but this is Sons of the Devil by Brian Buccellato, who most of our listeners will probably know him from The Flash. I first heard about him from that book Foster probably a year-ish ago, which was really, really awesome. But he's got a Kickstarter going, Sons of the Devil. As of the day of recording our podcast, he's a little over halfway. He's got about 10 days left. It'll be about 10 when this podcast hits. He's got a 23,000 goal. He's got less than 10 grand to go. But, you know, that's still quite a ways with 11 days left. And I'll give you the quick little thing. Now, Brian Buccellato is just a fantastic creator and artist, so I'm hopping on board just because I like his work. But I like some of the rewards that are in here, and I'll give you guys some quick touches on here. About the book, the story of what they say here is that Sons of the Devil is a character-driven psychological thriller that's told in multiple timelines across 25 years. That's what hooked me. I like stories that jump back and forth when it's done right. And I'll let you guys kind of go on and read more about it yourselves. But there's things on here, you know, like for $10 you can get the digital downloads, you know, and it has like a wallpaper thing with it as well. And then when you get to $25, you actually get a signed physical copy of the book along with the digital download of the film, because like there's actually going to be a comic book and filmmaking kind of what they call transmedia experience in here. But when you keep going and looking, here's where like I'm actually starting to get a little more intrigued, because you guys know me and original artwork. For I think $800, it's limited to one. Sia or Sia Oum, who does Lola XO, she did a variant cover. You can get the original artwork. And I'm really, really freaking tempted to jump on that one. But there's something cool in here that I thought was funny. For $125, there's only one left as of the time of recording at New York Comic Con. For $125, you send him a picture, and he'll have a picture of your face, and he'll have it printed, and he'll wear it on a t-shirt for one day at New York Comic Con. So, I just think that's fucking awesome. But, guys, go check out Sons of the Devil, and, you know, if you like what you see, toss some money at him so he can get this project going. So, that's it for Barback.
Alright.
Mm-hmm. Tony, what else we got today? I don't know, I'm fucking lost.
Do we have an indie?
Of course we got an indie. We got some booze and book later too, don't we?
Yep.
Alright. Indie Turnpike. Brought to you by Fanfare Sports and Entertainment. Down in Kalamazoo, Michigan. It's the best comic book.
I thought we were doing Ink Whiskey the whole time.
Well, Ink Whiskey's doing the whole thing. Fanfare's doing
it. Yeah, we're going to bookend the whole show with Ink Whiskey at the end.
Yeah. Because I started drinking out of my Ink Whiskey flask at the beginning. I'm going to end drinking out of my Ink Whiskey flask. But yeah, Fanfare Sports and Entertainment, check them out. It's fanfare-se.com, I think. So anyway, Image put out a very odd book this week. And I say odd because it's not normal size. It's Golden Age format. And so it won't fit into my long box the way that it should. It's a little bit wider.
Yeah, it was. I actually had to take another comic book to put up to make sure that I wasn't just seeing things weirdly.
Well, it was one of the, you know, it was one of the first books that I picked up, but I had a couple others that were already in my pull, and when I put it behind my books, I was like, why is that sticking out on that side? Oh, it's what? It didn't even catch my eye, but I like there's a lot of things that I really like about this book. The size is cool. I like the fact that it's on matte paper. Because you guys know my bitch when you have a black and white book that I can see the pictures through on the other side. This is nice, heavy stock matte paper. And for a very heavily inked black and white book, you don't get that through. I don't even think I've actually said what this is yet. This is the super
We're just going to let you slide.
Yeah. Now, this is the Superannuated Man, and this is created, written, and illustrated by Ted McKeever from Image Comics. The general thing going on here is that your character, the Superannuated Man here, is the last or one of the last humans left on Earth, and it's all these mutant humanoid type creatures that are like kind of like frog people, you know, that they're wandering around, and it's post-apocalyptic type thing, I guess. This is a really, really solid book for something that is so out there. The dialogue is great because it's basically him talking to himself. He's got a mannequin that he keeps up in the ship that he'll put his gear on and then put it in the window so these other creatures think that he's always in there, even if he's taking a nap or, you know, out looking for stuff, whatever. And then these alligator men and the frog men and all these other things won't come get on his ship. But the dialogue is great. I mean, it's really, really fucking cool. The story is just beginning to unfold, and so there's a lot of intrigue, but mostly I wanted to talk about the actual artwork that's in the book. Like I said, very, very heavy on the black, but the detail work in here is ridiculous. I was blown away by it. And so, if you want to try something new, and you want to try something very different than anything else that's out there, go grab the Superannuated Man, and you will need to get a Golden Age backing board.
So did that come free with the comic, or did you actually have to be like, you know, buy just one?
No, actually, the bag came. This was bagged, and this is listed as a mature comic, but I don't know why. There's
maybe the series, like, they know that the series going to, and this first one wasn't, so
that's
might
kind
as well
of
start it now.
That's kind of what I'm guessing, because it you know, there's nothing in here. Like, I mean, I don't even remember really any bad words in it, but yeah, really cool book. So I'd highly recommend giving it a shot. And again, this is another one of those books where, you know, both my books today, you could pick it up and just cover up the word balloons and look at it and enjoy it because the art's been fantastic. But I'd recommend reading both of them. So, all right, Tony, what do you got for booze in a book?
Well, for booze in a book, I have an oldie but a newie, I guess you would say. the Max Maximized number 8. Now, that's why I say it's an oldie, because the Max came out years ago, but they're reissuing them with new covers, and just mainly to bring that story back to the forefront. With number 8, there's certain things that have been going on within the series, but because since I read it so long ago, I'm pairing this one with Five Rabbit Golden Ale, mainly because the brewery is Five Rabbit Cerveceria from Chicago, because within this issue, you finally get a glimpse of the man behind the mask and what the Max looks like, and for those readers who have read it, they will understand this pairing very well. If not, go read the book, and you'll understand it a little bit better. But like the book, yeah, it just needs to be veiled in mystery unless you read it.
I don't get it. cool. We got anything else besides Last Call, or is it time for Last Call?
It's just time for Last Call.
All right. Tony, why don't you kick it off?
I really don't have much more. Actually, Original Sin number 3 was fucking amazing, but
See, I didn't even know that came out this week because my shop came. Yeah, it's a problem that I don't get there on a Wednesday.
Yeah, so we'll definitely be talking about this a little bit more in our next whatever that segment is that we made up.
Seasonal brews?
Yes. In a future episode, because this had a lot of holy shit moments.
I've got 4 that I really want to mention that I haven't already mentioned. The Wake, number 9 of 10. Like, every one of these books was right on the verge of, I could have reviewed any of these this week. Yeah, penultimate issue of The Wake. I want to get issue 10, and then I'm going to go back and reread the entire fucking series. This is so good. The Woods, number 2, from Boom Studios. I spoke really highly of this one here a while back, and it's good. Nailbiter, number 2, from Image. Talked about Josh Williamson earlier. And
Burn the Orphanage, number 2, Reign of Terror.
Yeah, good friends.
Which one of you has the variant cover?
I think this is the variant.
Yeah, I think Derek's got the variant.
You've got the Cena Grace cover, which I almost picked up. Oh, did you guys notice, though, page 3 in here? The original art that I bought from Cena at Motor City?
Yep, that
nice,
is.
Nice.
Yeah, I completely forgot that, like, what issue that was coming from. And I flipped, you know, I flipped the page, and I was like, hey, I own that. it's funny, I don't know if I like the original better than the colored, or vice versa. I think I like the original better than the colored, but then again, that's how I saw it first. So,
well, the colored's amazing, though.
Yeah, the colors are great, but I don't know. There's just so much. I don't know. I love that piece. So, yeah, that's everything that I had too. Burn the Orphanage was my last one that I wanted to really bring up. I had some other ones, but these were the books that were must reads.
Yeah, I really haven't gotten to a lot more of my books. I'll just say Iron Man was also kick ass, but that's because it's Iron Man and I love him.
Do you like love him or do you like love him?
I think I just like love him.
Yeah, because he doesn't love you back. I know that. So because
he told you.
No, he's not real, Tony. Yeah.
What? News to me.
All right, gents, should we go cause some havoc today?
Yes, I think there's some funness that we could be having today.
Yeah. I'm going metal detecting.
You would, you old fart.
So my buddy that I go digging with last weekend, it was just fucking bloody hot, and but we went out anyway, and we're out there, and he goes. And Derek, he goes, you know how I know that we're old and we're fat? And I go, because we're metal detecting? He goes, yeah, and we're only doing it in the shade. We literally were going from shady spot to shady spot. Big open area where we could go metal detect. We're like, yeah, it looks hot out there. I'll go under this tree.
This episode of Drunk on Comics, bookend by random stories from Derek.
Which were inspired by drinking from my ink whiskey flask.
Ooh.
Go to inkwhiskey.com and get your own.
And listeners, go to drunkoncomics.com, check out some reviews, some other fun things that we put up there. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you probably downloaded it from either iTunes, Stitcher, or on our website, so thank you for that.
Yeah, or if you're finding it other places, because I'm finding it other places.
Like Target?
You're finding it in the dark realms of the internet.
Yeah, like in the deep, you know...
Yeah.
Backwoods areas that only people like Bruce Wayne take their man boy servants to. like I found it out there. So if you're finding this on some other place, let us know.
Because
maybe we need to, like, you know, expand.
Yeah, contact us at Twitter or the Facebooks.
Yeah. Or you can email us too, you know. But we might have to reach out and either do more with some people or maybe go beat some ass. One of the two. What?
All right, listeners, keep reading your comic books, and we'll be back to you to talk about them next week.
I'm getting my bat, man.
Bang.
from the moon and escape to the sun. Run from the moon and escape to the sun. Run from the moon and escape.